And 3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone, and welcome to We Like Dota number 179. We are brought to you by our beautiful patrons, TL Cone, Nine Eggs, Justin, Lonnie, Rusty, Dr. Carmack, Mitchell Metzler, Clint Buck, Demento, Elihu, Dandy Rust, Carl Underwood, Can Dashel, Flossen, and Titus Andromedon. I have with me tonight two beautiful friends of the show, Mr. Blue and Jim J. Bullock. Hello, friends.
Hello,
Sam.
Yay.
And Blue.
And Blue.
No, just Sam. It's okay.
He has us on two separate audio channels. We can't communicate with each other.
They actually can't hear each other. It's just all through telepath. How have your weeks been, Jim?
My week's been pretty good. I've been busy with a lot of real life non-Dota related stuff, but it's pretty good. My daughter, my oldest daughter's been playing basketball, basketball.
Nice.
And she's in like the younger grades, right? So it's like third and fourth grade, and she's in third grade. So she's one of the smaller kids. But this game on Saturday, my wife went, and she sent me this video on the phone.
She was dunking?
Yeah, I mean, you know. No. But, you know, she just had was playing with a lot more confidence.
Nice.
And this video was just like, because like they pass and they call fouls and stuff in third grade. In second grade, it's like you're trying to teach the kids to dribble. In third grade, that you know, there's shooting fouls, people going to the line. And it just,
nice.
Like the whole video is like people passing out to my daughter, like in the corner or like up on the shoulder, and just like she just puts the ball right down and takes it to the tin.
Nice.
And I mean, her shooting range is like on par with Shaq, because she's 9 and they're playing on a regulation rim.
She's a slasher. Yeah. You know?
No, she is. It's great. Like, I was watching her, I'm like, this looks like basketball. Kids are passing.
That's got awesome. That early James Harden game, you know?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I mean, I didn't say it, you know? But I don't know. That was really fun. It was a particularly fun thing this morning to watch this highlight video. I got in my phone, and she even made a basket, which she was very happy about.
Oh, you got to put some music over that and show it to her.
Oh yeah, or put some music to it, like, you know, like now I'm blanking. I don't know, like Kendrick or something.
That's what I'm saying, like, yeah. Put some Run the Jewels over the top of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, Vince Staples.
Yeah,
you got to start the hype train early.
Yeah, it's true. I got to get up. This is, you know, the subheading of our podcast is We Like Balls, all things LeVar, LaMelo, Lonzo, and D'Angelo Ball. I do have to follow LeVar and promote my own kid that way.
That's
Blue,
right.
Blue, you're a basketball fan, right? You like the Bulls?
Yeah, but Blue Baller Blue Baller brand does not have the same ring to it. Now that I think about it, but yes, I am a fan of basketball, in particular NBA basketball lately. I used to be a huge college basketball fan, and then I don't know. I think I got turned on to the NBA from like maybe like 10 years ago or 12 years ago, basically when the Bulls started getting relevant again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get back into this, and oh my goodness, it is just great. It's just so fun. I don't know. It's like all the good parts of sports that don't take itself seriously is what I love about the NBA.
I agree.
The personalities and all that. Mm-hmm. It makes it fun.
Like this week, we had a prominent Cavs player apparently throw a bowl of soup at his assistant coach.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Wait, what?
You didn't hear about this?
No.
J.R. Smith got suspended for a game by the Cavs. He threw a bowl of soup at one of his coaches.
That is the most J.R. Smith story I've ever heard. Like, if anyone were to do that, that would be the guy.
It's so good.
He's like the NBA's poor man's, like, new age Rasheed Wallace. You know, like, just does the dumbest crap and And he's so when he actually focuses on basketball, he's so good. But then it only lasts for 4 minutes at a time in a game. And he goes right back to being a dummy.
He's just a flamethrower. It's incredible.
Yes.
How was your week, Blue?
My week was good. I feel like I played J.R. Smith in Dota. I'd have 30 seconds of brilliance followed by 4 minutes of horrible decision making. I played a lot of Puck, actually, the last 2 weeks, and that had mixed results. I played it particularly in the off lane, but ironically the only I think the majority of the games I won, which were only a handful, were when I was playing it mid. And so it's a really fun hero, but oh my goodness, your degree of your room for error is so low. And even if you're doing well, this is the part that frustrates me the most. Even if you're doing well, and you're not mid, you don't do that much damage. Right? You set up for your teammates so well, but you just you can't solo kill a lot of people unless you're snowballing hardcore. And I'm just not good enough at
that.
So it was it's been a lot of fun, but I had a time where I'm okay, I've just played the crap out of this hero, so I'm moving on. And ever since I moved on, I've won a lot more. I'll say that much.
Nice. How was your vacation?
Oh yeah, I went to the Bahamas and for I think four nights, five-ish days.
Nice.
Four and a half.
Wow.
But it was nice. It was a company paid trip.
Nice.
It was a reward for everyone doing super well last year, and I had signed on with this company in September. So I'm we did great, guys. Yeah,
sliding
good
into
job.
The DMs.
Good job, everyone. Yeah.
Very well done.
Just sneaking right in there. But no, it was great. I mean, the owner of my company is he's like a middle-aged Indian man, and he's a really nice guy. But I never in a million years would have imagined he was such a party animal, but he was. So he had a great time, and everyone did. So it was fun. It was one of those all-inclusive hotels at the Bahamas, and everything was free from top down. So he paid for the whole trip. So it was super nice. And I went on a beach, and I didn't get burned.
Nice.
And my wife did for the first time in her life.
Oh my
so
God.
It was amazing. I was overjoyed. Can I tell you how happy I was for her to actually feel what a burn actually is. For those who don't know, my wife is very tan, and I'm very not tan. So this was a crowning achievement. This is top five vacations just based on that.
Yeah, I can speak on behalf of all gingers and say congratulations.
That's a win for everyone. That's right. For the movement.
For our kind. It's great.
Yeah, for the cause.
Yeah.
Very good. I also had a lovely week. I was able to go to my sister's baby shower, so that was fantastic.
Yeah, nice.
And then yesterday, I hung out with my neighbor friend, and he apparently knows everything there is to know about motorcycles, and I was like,
oh,
hey,
oh
man.
Yeah. I need an update. I love these.
Okay. So I went by his place. He was showing me his bikes, and of course his garage is super cool. It has a bunch of pegboard and a bunch of awesome tools that it's just everything you want in a garage. It's also one of those garages that's partly in the house, but also looks out on onto your front lawn, you know? So it's just perfect, because you can just sit there and watch everybody and be part of the neighborhood, just be an old man. So he was like, oh, is your bike ready to go? The weather's starting to get nice. I was like, well, kind of, sort of. He's like, all right, let me go look at it. And he brings over this, like, this just this little bag of tools, and he just, like, starts tinkering around. He's like, oh, yeah, your battery's not charging, so it's not dead, but, like, you just need this new part, and if that one doesn't work, then you might need this other new part, but it's no big deal. Yeah. And then he starts, like, tinkering around. He literally, like, he takes his index finger, runs it across a part of the motor, licks his finger, and goes, oh, yeah, all right. Well, I guess, yeah, you might need a new head gasket at some point. But honestly, your idle sounds great. It's fine. You're fine. I was like, what is this?
What?
It's like the motorcycle whisperer.
Yeah, I was about to say, you have like the motorcycle Rain Man.
It was great. So I ordered a new part. Gonna get it going when it comes in. And basically, what was that awesome NPR show? Car Talk. I basically have Click and Clack as my neighbor, and it's the best.
Oh, so. That's great.
So congratulations to me, I suppose.
Sure.
For all that. All right. Here we go, folks. I'm going to give a very structured agenda for the show. What we're going to do is Jim's going to talk about Theme Thursdays. Then we're going to do a little brief segment on We Like NBA 2K, because Mr. Blue just bought that game. So we're going to talk about that. Afterwards, we'll touch on the new patch that dropped, today?
Thursday?
Yeah, today's Saturday, I'm sorry. A couple days ago. Then we'll get into Bucharest predictions and such. The tournament starts tomorrow. Hopefully I'll have the podcast out in time for you to hear those really great predictions we're going to give you. And then, depending on how long we go, we may do a very new and exciting segment, which is basically Hero of the Week, except it is totally up to what hero I've been playing. So, if we do that part, it'll be Kunkka, and we'll just kind of bullshit that. So, without further ado, Jim, Theme Thursdays, how'd it go?
Oh, it's been great. They've been growing. We have 2 weeks that I haven't reported back on to our listeners. I don't remember what happened 2 weeks ago. But this week was a good time. I think we ended up with at least 3 full 5v5s.
Ooh.
We got people, like, waiting, and Blue messaged me and came on for the second game. We got some other people in the Discord waiting. I've been taking people's names who didn't make it, so I make sure they get in the game.
Nice.
And subsequent weeks. It's pretty exciting. There are a couple things that we've learned. So one of the things that we talked about, there's all this, like downtime. It's not so much that you wouldn't want to do it, so, you know, show up. I'm not trying to complain about it. It's great, but, you know, you're just waiting for people to show up, you know, someone has to go to the bathroom, whatever. And we started talking about how there should be, like, some guidelines, maybe. So we've ended up in a couple drafts where, you know, you end up with, like, position one Earth Spirit with someone who's playing his second game of Earth Spirit, just because of, like, the lack of flexibility in certain drafts.
Right.
We've drafted Backpackers a few times, which is heroes carrying other, like, creatures on them. And that requires, like, lots of custom cosmetics, including that really expensive tusk penguin. And, like, people just can't do it, you know?
Right.
So we suggested re-rolling. Like, re-rolling rules, like, each team gets to re-roll once. And then, like, potentially including bans. So if the other team has, like, a million heroes and you have 6 or 7, maybe you could ban some of those million heroes in, like, blue. Just to give you a bit more even, because we had a bunch of really unbalanced games. One in particular, we rolled ice, which we always roll for some reason. And ice has drow and sports. Mm-hmm. and the other team also had Drow on their list, mm-hmm. and it was like, oh, we entered the game. They insta-lock Drow.
Yeah.
It sounds like they were very smart to do that.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. But, but like then, you know, they were all the aura heroes. So it was like a ton of aura heroes, including Rubik. With I forget who was playing Rubik.
Sounds like a very good draft. Yeah, it sounds like a very good draft. Whoever designed that draft was very smart.
I don't remember. There's some guy in Rubik.
I don't know.
I forget. But then, like, I mean, so they have Rubik with the magic resistance aura, and everyone's just kind of hanging out together. And we have like, you know, some AOE magic damage. It was really fun during the laning phase because like three supports in a tri-lane. Just chain killing, but it didn't work all that well in terms of being even. We had another game before that was even more uneven, and I think we GG'd like 22 minutes. It was just unwinnable from at least the point where it was. Nice. But a second thing that is pretty exciting is that we had our first professional Dota player participate in Theme Thursdays.
Yeah.
Woo, what?
Yeah. Tell me about it, right? Yeah, Baby Bok Choi and Two Flakes, Charlene and Matt from the Valentine's Day episode. They always play Theme Thursdays. So they're like, hey, you know, we have a friend who wants to play, but he's very, very good. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, I mean, how
good? You're like, no!
Right, yeah. And like, you know, Charlene and Matt, like, he's going to be a nice person. He's not like a jerk, right? Totally. So I'm like, yeah, of course, right? And my cousin played with us a couple weeks ago, and he was our first numbered player, like, Divine Six.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, well, like, what's his number? And they're like, well, he was 30 at one point on SEA. And I'm like,
The number 30, yeah.
Yeah, so he played with his Smurf, which I think is number 600 something.
Yeah. Yeah, 515.
Oh, it's 515 now. Yeah, and, he was just like, you know, listen, guys, I'll turn my brain off, don't worry. his name is Miguel. I don't remember what his name in the game is, but he was super nice. He picked Morphling in one game, and just like the entire game kept up like a Russian accent, but like basically like a parody of that video with the Kotl Gifmana guy. And he was just joking the whole time, and he had this crazy build, and he just kept using Morph and doing these like crazy plays and then dying, but you know, whatever, we were all just goofing off.
Yeah.
But then we played, so I just want to highlight how different a game he plays.
Yeah.
We played the game afterwards. It was just turbo. It was like me, him, Neil, and then Bok Choi and Two Flakes. And so he's picked Storm, right? Because he's like a really, really good player, and it's like a snowball hero you can do that with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, all right, I'll pick a support, but then you want one with like a bonkers 25th level talent. So I picked Witch Doctor. Because I was going to get gifted an Ags from Two Flakes, and I thought, all right, well, you know, he kind of scales, you know? And then, like, I wasn't near anything that was happening ever. Like, I just found myself, like, wandering around the map. I'm like, oh, I think there's going to be something over here. And then, like, I hear them all talking on Discord, and I look over, and, like, there's, like, two of our heroes are dead, three of their heroes are dead, and I'm like... I'm going to throw this cask at a wave.
I just slow, right?
Yeah, I was just so like, and he's playing Storm, so like you always feel kind of out of place with Storm.
Yeah.
And his like decision-making late game was just like crazy. He's like, if I have vision of the high ground, I'm going to BKB, zip in, knock off the sniper's Aeon disc, and then zip back out. We wait until my BKB is back up and I have an arcane rune, so that shouldn't be a problem. Then we zip in, I kill the sniper, we win the game. And I'm like, I have a glimmer cape now. So I fed horribly throughout the whole game. We ended up losing, but everyone's nice, so we had fun. But whew, something else. And maybe he'll come back for next Theme Thursday, so you all could play with a professional player who is super nice and does not abuse the fact that he might be playing for Dota Pro Circuit points the next few months.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't even know what to say about that. That's great. All right, cool. That sounds like a fantastic time. I hope everybody keeps coming out to Theme Thursdays because it's fun.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Mr. Blue, how about you? You talked a little bit earlier about your Puck experiences, but
yeah, the Puck experiences. I took a break from it. Actually, I played in that one of those the Theme Thursdays, and I was on the opposite side of ice. And yes, we went the Aura build, so we had like I was Rubik. So I was the only non-Aura, and I was the only person that wanted to play or was up for playing position 5, it seemed. We had Beastmaster, Drow, Luna, and Vengeful Spirit.
And then I'm seriously taking my headphones off to hear about this.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. It was pretty good. We just we crushed them pretty hard, but like, just to prove to you how good that guy was, he was offlane Winter Wyvern. And then the first minute of the game, he was like AFK. Was that accurate, or did he just like hide in an area next to the trees or something?
I don't know. I mean, he wasn't talking much. I think he may have been at keyboard, but
yeah, it was very weird because the first minute we're like crapping ourselves looking around for him as the supports were like, no, this guy will not beat us. All right, this is offlane Winter Wyvern. There is no way he's going to beat this, like win this game for us. So like, everyone on our team was so focused on making sure that he did not have a good game. And still, even at the end of the game, when we won, like, I don't know, it was like a 31 to 22, but it was not nearly as close as it sounds. But he still ended up with the highest net worth on your team.
Oh yeah.
In the offlane. And it was like, it just goes to show you how crazy it is. Like, if you know how to farm efficiently on heroes, regardless of the hero, like, you can still just be better than like 80% or 90% of, you know, other people in Dota. So it's funny that you described like some of the way he was thinking about things. And it's always fun to, you know, play against or with someone that's just so much better than you, because you like learn things that like you just don't even think about when you play. So anyways, I just wanted to point that out because it was really fun playing against him, knowing how good he is. So we were like razor focused on like shutting him down. But yeah, I think other than that, it was, you know, I played some pubs, we had some fun. Last match I played Ancient Apparition, which I hadn't played in like, I don't know, a year and a half.
Nice.
Oh my goodness, that hero is just a joy when you get like space. Like, when four other heroes are just like, we're gonna go fight over here, throw your ice blast out, I'm like, okay, I'm cool with that. Yeah, no, I'll farm this whole wave here, I'll contribute my one spell and keep farming. And it's like at the end of the game with Arcane Boots, Midas, a gem, Aghanim Scepter, and Hex in like, I don't know, like 45 minutes, 44 minutes, something like that. And I was position 5. So I like bought all the wards, and we had like a Ricky on our team. So of course he didn't buy anything. So it was nice. It was like, oh, this hero is really good. I don't know why people's sleeping on him. So it was, and he's got some cool talents. So that's all I have to report on the Dota side of things. I don't know. The basketball side of things. Oh boy.
Yeah. Let's get to the hard hitting news. Mr. Blue purchased NBA 2K. Please tell us what went into this decision.
So, all right. I'm not sure. Have you guys played? Do you guys play sports games much? I haven't in a while. So,
I played a lot of Madden like years ago.
Yeah.
And NCAA. Yeah.
Okay.
As you well know, I play NBA 2K18 on the PC primarily for the simulations.
For the simulations.
I just love being a GM. I think I'm in year 2051 or 52. I've played, I would say, probably like, I don't know, out of all of those years simulated, I've probably played like 20 real games.
Oh my god, that is ridiculous. It's so funny because it's, isn't that weird, because it's like Like, you buy a game and it's like so specific to one sport, right? Not even just one sport, like one professional association of a sport, right? Like, there's like a college basketball version, even. It's not even just basketball in general, but you can play that in so many different ways because of the game modes. But that's, I bring that up because that's kind of the reason, like, why I'm playing NBA 2K is like 2K18. That's the newest one. Is because I have always wanted a, like, a sports game that had like a true RPG element to it. And like the last NBA game we played was like 2K11, where you could play as like Jordan, right? And you play all the like Jordan games, like all the legendary like comebacks he would have, or like you'd have to score like 63 or whatever against the Celtics and in 84 or whatever, like do all this crazy stuff, and that was fun. But it didn't really have like a good like RPG mode where you basically would create a player from the ground up. Right. And I was like, oh man, I'm really kind of itching for an RPG, but I really don't want to play like a regular RPG. Like, I'm just not in the mood for that. So I like bought, what is it, Madden 18. I know it's a long story. I bought Madden 18. So it was like on sale. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. This has like a whole story mode about getting drafted and doing all this stuff. Well, I thought it would do more than just be about getting drafted, but like that was it. It's like the story mode ended when you got drafted. I was like, wait, that's it? Oh, crap. Well, yeah. I just wasted some money here because I don't know. I'm like not that into Madden, but
no.
Then I saw NBA 2K18 and I saw you playing it and I was like, hey, what's this all about?
Yeah.
And then you explained to me that you don't even play the actual game. You play it like it was Goat Simulator, but with basketball.
Okay. Well, to be fair, I did try the RPG element, and there's something weird with my internet connection or something with my EA Sports account where I can't actually spend any of the VR like currency that you earn, so my guy is just stuck on level 60, which is where you start, and I have zero put into anything, so I can't even like make a layup. Like,
are you sure you cannot? Because they don't make it obvious, but if you like push up on the menu,
yes,
like from the default position, okay,
yes, you go you just up, can't add. And then you have to like add it, right?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't let me. It just, I sit there and I'm like, are you kidding me?
It's just really like frustrating.
So, but I can play the RPG element on in an offline way. It just has like there's less to it. But I would like to point out that the first franchise that I saw in the sports world that had this type of thing was FIFA, and I'm not sure if like historically that's correct, but that was like where I was first introduced to it. You were a guy named Alex Hunter, and they wrote this whole story for it. Like, you start at a low level club and you work your way up, and there's like a bunch of press conferences and all this type of stuff. I thought it was fun.
Have you ever played Blitz the League?
No.
It's the game that came out like, I don't know, like 12 years ago or something.
No, I remember it though. Yeah.
Oh, it had like a story old school mode. Blitz.
It was epic. It was so cool. Like, it had, who was it? Like the linebacker for the Giants. I don't care about the Giants. Larry, Lawrence Taylor.
It had like a bunch of old players, right?
Yeah, and Bill Romanowski and all this stuff. They had like them as voices, and they were like opposing players you'd have to, you know, like go head to head against. It had these storylines. It was so cool. It was the best. I'm like, I just want a game that's like that.
Yeah.
Like that. It had a true story mode. So I'm like a sucker for those.
So how are you
and liking? I love sports movies. It was great. And then the last one that had that, there was like a boxing game that had that too, and I loved that one.
Oh,
Boxing's a good one because boxing is so like narrative driven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. So any of those kind of games that like fuse sports with like RPG elements and stories, I love. I'm just a sucker for those, like whether that be movies, documentaries, or just sports. I think it makes for fun drama. But I digress, because NBA 2K18 is great in like all of those things, except it doesn't have like a compelling like true narrative around it. Like you're building a narrative,
right?
But it has a bunch of like the production quality of that game is ridiculous. Like it's so good. Like I was like playing, and they were like referring to me as this guy DJ. Like they have to use like a generic nickname, right? So it can apply to anyone regardless of whatever your name is. But like they'll even pronounce your name, so you can like choose a bunch of like all the names that are ever used or have ever been used in the NBA, and like the announcers use that last name.
I'm
like,
yeah, it's pretty so cool. Pretty good.
But like I was playing against the Lakers, and all of a sudden, like Kobe comes on and is talking about like what it was like being a Laker, how you challenge teammates and other stuff. And it was like, what the hell? they like put out all the stops for this stuff. So maybe it's like obvious to people who've played in the last, I don't know, like 6 or 7 years, but I haven't. So to me, like the jump up in production value is so cool.
And did Kobe talk about the Muse cage?
I don't think so. I don't know. Am I missing a reference there?
Yeah, I'm making fun of him. He, whatever. It was a TV thing he did.
he Muse cage. Yeah, okay.
Google it later. It's fine.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say if I could ask two quick questions. One, most importantly, how did Lonzo do in your game against the Lakers? And number two, what's the player creation like? Like, can you make like totally ridiculous stuff? Because I remember there was an NHL game that came out like a very long time ago for the PC, and you could upload your own faces and then try to map them on with by like dragging points and vertices or something. But then if you put them in the wrong places, you could make these like hideous monsters, and it was great. Yes. And it had like lots of very strange body types. So like, how is the player? Because NBA, like you could express so much through like choices of clothing and horribly disfigured measurements and stuff. So do you have the opportunity to do that in this one?
Yeah, you have like a create my player mode, and you can actually like have it where there's like an app on your phone that you can download. And I tried it. It didn't turn out too great, but I also was in like pretty crappy lighting. But you basically take a selfie and then upload it and have your face on the character. So I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then I do it, and I look like a horrifying like cross-eyed disfigured monster.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to skip that one. The only thing they got right was the nose, which is weird. I'm like, wait, do I look like a horrifying disfigured monster? Like, goddamn. There's like one very distinct thing that they got completely accurate. It's right in the middle of my face. So how did they mess up the rest of it? But aside from that, no, like they do a pretty good job. The body types, they don't give a lot of options for, but like you can, there's a bunch of presets that you can use, and like the expressions. So the thing about 2K, they used to have a lot of issues with like having like quote unquote dead face, right? Where you like people would be talking, but the rest of their face would not look like it's moving at all. Or like they'd have like dead eyes as they were like supposed to be looking at something. They've gotten way better about like actually looking relatively like full of emotion, right? Or expressive.
Yeah.
So they've like improved that dramatically. So like there's like little cutscenes where your player is like talking trash to another guy, right? And these are all like preset, and they're just a bunch of cutscenes that they designed and set up. But it was really cool because they also introduce you to like, you develop relationships with other players that are real players in the league, and it's like the voice of the actual player, like I don't know, like Devin Booker from like the Phoenix Suns, right? Like he's part of the Jordan brand, and the Jordan brand will try to sign a shoe deal with you, and they'll send him as a representative, and you guys will have to like chat and stuff, and they get like the real players to do this. And I don't know, it's just fun that they got so many people involved in this thing that comes out once a year. It just like blows my mind that they could do this kind of stuff. But so like the character personalization stuff's really cool. You can customize all your shoes, the clothes, and I'm not one that's like all about that. I'm like a total RPG like stats geek. So I just want to like level my guy up and just crush people. So you asked me about Lonzo Ball.
Wait. Oh, okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
So this is actually, thank you for asking. That builds into it. So I picked small forward, and the way it works is like, you can't be like a guy that's like 8 feet tall and a point guard, right? Like, they just don't, you could try that, but you'd be a terrible point guard. So they're like the taller you get, or like the stronger you get, the harder it becomes to like have high skill sets out of the box. Right. So okay, there's a trade off. Yeah. So I'm like a 6'7" small forward, right? So I'm not like, I'm like Scottie Pippen basically is like what I'm trying to go for here.
Right.
Like slasher defender, at least at the start. And I'm trying to, and then I'm going to like work on my, I don't know, mid-range jump shot and stuff like that. So you like work on specific things in the gym and get good at them. But I went up against Lonzo Ball in the Lakers game. I just crushed him. It was, I'm like a 65 rating or something. I'm not even very good, but I went all out on him. And then even better, LaVar Ball texts me after the game and wants to sign me to the brand, the Big Baller brand. And like, I don't remember the specifics, but like the dialogue they use for it is just perfect in these little text messages. Like, it sounds like something LaVar Ball would say. So it like, has me questioning whether or not he was actually involved in the making of it. It's that
so
good.
So if you want more insight as to the behind the scenes, you know, how did NBA 2K get made, a writer for TheRinger.com, Jason Concepcion, I'm probably not saying it right. He's awesome. He is a really funny writer and a huge nerd. He does a lot of stuff with Game of Thrones. So if you're familiar with the Binge Mode podcast, and he shows up on a bunch of other podcasts for them about basketball as well. He wrote for that that game, and he also does a video game podcast called Achievement Oriented, which is awesome, and you should check it out anyway. But he does an episode talking about what it was like to work on it, and it sounds pretty awesome. So. Huh. I'm glad you enjoyed the story mode.
It's so fun. I'm loving it. I'm like still like not even a starter at this point, but right. It's just been a blast. Just like playing and like trying to be a good teammate and setting screens and like, I'm such a basketball nerd. So I actually enjoy that. Like they reward that stuff.
Yeah.
Like as much, if not more than just like scoring on people. So it's right. Fun.
Cool. Well, let's move in to the new patch, yes. Because there are a lot of things that changed. So Dark Willow is allowed into the pro stuff now, right?
Captain's mode, yes.
Captain's mode. What else do we have going on, Jim?
Oh, the changes to Morphling. I'm so excited about this. So with his ultimate now, you can switch back and forth between Morphling and the hero you selected to morph into initially. And the cooldowns all run independently. So, I mean, there's highlight videos of people, I think it was Waga, morphs into Earthshaker. And Earthshaker has a bunch of like low cooldown stuns. So I'll morph into Earthshaker, stun people, morph back to Morphling, do damage, morph into Earthshaker, stun them again, morph back into Morphling, use his stun, attack him, morph back. And you could just do this for the whole duration. I think there's a 1 second delay when you switch. Like every pro is spamming him in pubs now. Like you just like go on like the you know, pub list in Dota, and you just see all the, you know, Resolution, No-Tail, or TZ. Everybody's just trying to figure out how this is going to be great. And then if you take the right talents, once you get level 3 in Morph, you only have 5 seconds of downtime. It lasts for 35 seconds, and it's on a 40-second cooldown. And it's just, I mean, I cannot wait for Bucharest and for anything else that's going to happen. I just want to see people just with crazy plays on Morphling. And it's in a lot of pubs lately, too.
I have a question for you, Jim.
Yeah.
For when you, so you're morph, right? And you have your health and you have your mana.
Yeah.
And then you change into, you know, whoever it is, say Earthshaker.
Sure.
Does your health and mana change to whatever Earthshaker's is?
Actually, I don't know what it starts at, but I know that they're independent health and mana pools. So you could run through all of Earthshaker's health and switch back to Morphling and then have all of Morphling's health back.
And like you were saying with the mana, right? Like he used all the stuns and went back. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And there were a bunch of really cool bugs. Like you used to be able to pick up, you could morph into Tiny, pick up a tree. So then you had the tree attack, then switch back to Morphling and use Waveform. If you have Waveform procs attacks, it would just like cleave everyone with the tree. I think they removed that.
And then there was a bug with so many problems. It's gonna have so many of those bugs.
Oh, it's glorious. There was a bug with Rubik too, where if you were Morphling and you switched into Rubik and stole, or no, if you were Morphling, switched into Rubik, and then the Rubik stole your lift, and then cast that lift, something bad happened. I forget what it was. It was a bug, and they fixed it. But, like, just, like, Morphling and Rubik, and then I remember, like, when Rubik and the Lotus Orb came out, when it first came out, Dota's the best. Just, like, total nonsense happens when they change these things. I love it. So I'm so excited about Morphling.
That's going to be terrifying for, like, good teams in that best of one format.
Oh, man.
For the Swiss-style format for Bucharest. It's going to be, I don't know, I'm going to be sweating bullets if I'm... you know, Puppy or whoever. Like, any random team now can just, like, first pick Morph, beat you to it, and then just, like, come up with some crazy strat that hasn't been devised yet. I mean, that's kind of... it's going to be fun for us to watch, but, like, imagine being a player right now on, like, a good, established team.
Oh, yeah. Total
just
chaos.
A wrench into... yeah, it's just total chaos. And then you're adding, like, the most chaotic possible format.
Oh, right, yeah, best of one. That's great.
Best of one.
Well... we'll get into the format later. Yes.
Yeah, there's so many other, like, smaller changes, because that's just, like, such a massive one.
Yeah.
I don't know, the one that sticks out to me, I'm sure we'll talk about the Dark Willow one, but the other one that sticks out to me is the change to the Naga. So, like, I know Naga has been really, as a support, has come back strong as, like, a very popular support. Because she's got, like, the Meteor Hammer timing, right? Where you can sleep people and then start to cast your Meteor Hammer as it ends.
Yeah.
And then land it on people. I think now they, like, screwed up the timing with that, because now the sleep buff linger time is reduced from 0.5 to 0.4. So I think that, like, messes with it. Like, harder
I thought to land. That was what that change was supposed to do. I don't feel like thinking about it long enough to realize exactly how, but I saw that, I was like, that's such a weird little change, it must be what you're talking about. Yeah,
that's what makes me think it is. And so, and that, and the mana cost increase up to 200 mana now for Naga, and like Naga is a hero that a lot of people are buying, like, Tranquil Boots on. So, like, that makes it, you know, if you get EMP'd, you can't just use a wand charge and get a free get out of jail ultimate anymore, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's situationally, you know, nerfs it.
Interesting. We shall see. I honestly, Naga's, the less Naga I see, the better.
Oh, I love Naga.
No.
I love
the only thing worse.
Not as a carry, but.
The only thing worse than a Naga support is a Naga carry for a viewer. Ugh. Ugh. Boots got more expensive. GG.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah, we just got priced out of, you know, out of our lunch as supports.
Yeah.
Movement bonus is faster, so hey.
Yeah. That's a win lace was for, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, poor man's boots.
Alas.
I guess that's truly what it's going to be now.
Poor man's boots.
I had a windlace for a long time in a game I played last night. I'll tell you that.
Speaking of going fast, Jim, you had a Bloodseeker comment.
Oh, yeah. So this is something I've been thinking about, and I was hoping to get your guys' feedback on it. I remember Bloodseeker was like the scourge of pubs, and pros were picking him, and it was like he was just everywhere for a while. I guess he got nerfed somehow, and now he's like nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in a game last night, and he did really well. And I wonder if it's the patch. Probably, maybe not. But like, why isn't he still considered good? Because like, when like he doesn't have like have to buy anything. Like there's all these crazy builds. Like, oh, you could build a Yule Scepter to help you with, you know, people who TP out, or you could go like Midas Radiance, and like you could just get like Snai and run really fast. Like it seems like his kit.
Do you call S and Y Snai?
Yeah,
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, there's a sports channel in New York. It's SNY, and everybody just calls it Snai. So when I see that, I just think of Mets games. But yeah, like he could build anything. Like I feel like I want that flexibility, right? Like that, so not everyone's like tied into cookie cutter builds, unless it kind of defines them, like AM with Battle Fury. But like, he just has complete flexibility. And obviously he doesn't always win every game, but like, how is he like everywhere and then nowhere? I still think he's good. I don't know.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. He had like such a huge moment in like TI7, right? He was pretty popular. And he was like so hard to push out of the lane because he just had so much sustain with his Blood Rage. But you know, like I think they gave him a couple of nerfs, I want to say, like right after that.
Yeah, and we're all furiously googling it.
Like I think the one that I remember that, I think it was like Blood Rite damage was decreased, or it was like they made it so like that casting it was not as, I don't know, beneficial. Because I feel like that was the one that really screwed it up. But they added a change, you said, to 7.1 where it heals you if you're in the area of another hero dying rather than getting the last hit.
Right. So now Blood Rage heals you for 50% of its value if you do not get the last hit but are within 300 AoE of a dying hero.
Yeah, 300 AoE is not huge, but it's, you know, it's an AoE, so it's not, it doesn't have to be, like, you know, super big.
Right.
But yeah. I guess it's like a nice quality of life thing, too, where it's like, you don't have to be like, no, wait, let me get that last hit, you know, support, rather than using Finger of Death and, you know, doing what actually would think would be good, or what would be the right thing, you know, you have to, like, you don't have to think about it as much, so I guess that's cool.
I mean, maybe it won't be, I don't know, maybe it won't be, like, really, really game-changing for pros, but for the rest of us, it's like, eh, good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Stuff. I feel like for that hero, he is really flexible, and you feel, like, really strong for the first, like, half hour of the game, and then a little bit later, you're like, oh, I'm not actually doing that much damage, / I'm not actually that tanky. Like, what do I actually do well? I don't know.
I guess that's true. I guess if you buy weird stuff, the weird stuff doesn't necessarily scale.
Right.
Also, Nullifier is a really good item against him, the more I think about it. Like, it's a good way to catch him out. Because he moves so fast, so if you're just, all you have to do is attack him and he's stopped, he relies super heavily on BKB to like get in there and do stuff. So yeah, it is kind of weird how he just like disappeared, because he was so popular for quite a stretch there, and not like because of some like massive obvious, you know, bug or mistake or something that had to be patched out. I just think it was like, I remember that Blood Rite was so strong, and they nerfed it a little bit. I think with the talents, it was like, they had like -7 second cooldown on the Blood Rite, and then it went down to -6. And then they did something else with Blood Rite that I couldn't remember. But yeah, it is kind of weird. I hope to see him again a little bit, but to be honest, I really don't like that hero.
I never want to see him again.
Well, speaking of heroes that we're going to see and might get sick of, let's talk about the major, because in every major tournament and minor, there's like this weird tournament meta that develops. So do we think we're going to see a lot of Dark Willow?
Yes.
Okay.
I think she'll be banned really quickly.
I guess that's fair. Like, seeing her might not mean actually seeing her, but she will get banned.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So we probably agree.
Yeah. Her kit is just so strong. There's still like a part of me that doesn't understand why she has that extra talent, that little like have the fairy spin around you and do a bunch of damage. Like, right. Why is that? Like, why does she get that? Like, yeah, why does she just get that one? Like, I don't understand why that's just a thing. Compared to, like, because she has so many other, like, all of her skills are so good, like, on their own. You know, like, it's just weird. Like, I'd say even the weakest skill, like, to me, her Shadow Realm skill is probably her weakest one. And even that one makes her, it's like a get out of jail free card unless they have some, like, ground targeted skill. Right? Yeah. Like, you can't be targeted. Single target spells no longer work on you when you use it. And it does a huge nuke, and that nuke gets buffed. Like, what the hell? What a concept.
There you have it, folks. Joining us also is Arian. I decided he should come in because I don't know anything about Pro Dota, and we need all the help we can get.
Sure.
What do you think about the Willow, Arian?
I think she won't be as significant. I think she'll be banned sometimes, but not all the time, because I think what pros value is instant disable and things that go really fast, because they don't really give you time to react. And most of Willow's ability have a long delay before they actually take effect. For example, her stun has a 4-second delay before it actually stuns people. Of course, after those 4 seconds, it's really great, but during the time where it has the build-up, the other team can do whatever they want to your team. So that's also the case for her nuke. And I think that's really a detrimenting factor for picking her, that the team has a lot of time to react before she actually has effect in the game.
A dissenting opinion.
I would disagree with the, that pro players heavily value instant abilities, because like Earth Spirit is not an instant spellcaster. Like, he's just like a, you know, you have to place your skills properly, and he's still played even though he's garbage tier in pubs and stuff like that.
I mean, that's true, but I think the pros play Earth Spirit so well that it's, I get your point, the projectiles are a bit slow, but I think that's about half a second if you add everything up. I think that's kind of in a different ballpark than having a 4-second delay before your stun actually stuns people. Because 4-second delay is way enough time for the other team to react to what you are doing.
I mean, for that particular skill, I can see it both ways. I think it's sort of a mistake to focus solely on that one thing about the hero. So, like, for example, Oracle has a similar skill, right? And he was a very popular hero for a while. Probably not just laser focusing on that one particular skill, but because of his entire kit. And I think it might be helpful to focus a little bit more on that aspect of Willow is her entire kit
That's true, but I say that I think 3 of her 5 abilities have that delay to her. The fear ability has a very long cast time, the nuke takes a long time before you actually build up the damage, and her stun also has like a 4-second delay before you actually stun people. And yeah, I think that I think it was today I saw the patch notes from the new Alliance roster, And the consensus they reached there was that they valued Pengulier much more than Willow and would be more excited about Pengulier actually coming into the game.
I don't disagree with that, because Pengulier is considered by a lot of pros to be really, really good, but that's why he's not in captain's zone. That's why he's not in captain's zone, you know? Like, that's... I think
another interesting...
Yeah.
Thing about Dark Willow is that, like, all of her abilities, except maybe the nuke, like, force some kind of change in positioning on the opponents.
Right.
Like, the Rose Garden, like, changes the battlefield, you know, in a large area differently. Like, the stun makes people, like, have to not be near that guy. The fear makes people move.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I think it's kind of, like, interesting about her, and I wonder if that would factor in. I'm not, like, making an assertion about it. I just think I noticed, like, it's all, like, almost like like minor resets, like whereas like Naga Sleep is like the ultimate reset. These are all sort of like, oh, we're gonna fight here. No, you're not. And like you throw down the Rose Garden.
Yeah,
and then you have to think about it differently. Yeah,
even if it costs you, it's on a 12-second cooldown when you have it max. So it's like, you know, if you use that and you're exchanging it for the use of say a Lotus Orb to purge it or a Yule Scepter, like that's still a win. Even if you have the tools to successfully purge it, but to me that also like the counterplays to that are certain heroes, and to me I think Abaddon is going to be a hero that comes back in a big way. For that reason, like people that can instantly purge things on and keep fighting on low cooldowns.
Yeah, he got a bunch of buffs in the patch too.
And he got buffs too, like a big cooldown reduction buff, right? At like level 20, it was like, what, 15%? Now it's 20? It's like, that's a huge buff for a hero that has a bunch of already low cooldown spells.
Yeah.
Also,
to have that.
In the range of cooldown, remember, if you get an Octarine Core on Mirana, you can have 100% uptime on Moonlight Shadow now.
Oh, with the level 25.
At level 25.
Oh, okay.
So, like, Midas Octarine.
All right, anyone that Ricky. Does that build, you can blame that on Jim. No.
Well.
But I feel what's also holding Willow kind of back, in the pro scene at least, is that for her second part of her ultimate, the kind of bird flying around her, it requires you to be close to the enemy you want to deal damage on. And I think, especially in team fights, it works in a pub where nobody has situational awareness and you can just walk up to people and they won't immediately focus you to death. But in a pro match, those kind of mistakes will just get you killed. So I feel like that particular skill has very limited use.
Well, we shall see. Blue, can you talk a little bit about the setup, like the structure of the tournament? Because I know we've had some minor drama in the past about the optimal way to schedule these games.
Tournament structure drama? I had never unheard of in Dota. Oh my goodness. Who'd have thought?
Esports are so straightforward with that.
Yeah, obviously. We have one way of doing everything in esports, so it's so consistent. So for Bucharest, the Bucharest Major, they are using what they call the Swiss format. And the Swiss format is just like a general principle of everyone plays everyone. And then based on your record in this like everyone plays everyone format, the top half moves on, the bottom half does not. In some instances, it's like the top half, you know, goes to the winner's bracket, top bottom half to the lower bracket. But I think in this one, it's just straight up, like you don't make it, like you just don't, you don't move on.
Yeah. Top eight, go to the next stage.
Yeah. So the bottom half, eight, don't even have the opportunity to come back in.
Right.
In from like a lower bracket or whatever. So it's very interesting because if I think they've done that before at Kiev, the Kiev Major, but they had a best of three for that, which makes a lot of sense to me. To me, if you're going to do it in that way, at least give them the chance to have a full best of three, you know, format where they can have a full, you know, match between them. Because best of one is so, like, roll of the dice, right? Like, you could get last pick Broodmothered, and then that's it. You know, that's your first and last match with that group of guys. So it could be Pain Gaming that does that to you, you know, and they could steal a win from a team like Secret or VP or someone.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. I was just thinking about it because just when you brought it up, remember the open quals when all those like Secret and EG and the really good teams had to go through open quals for TI because of the universe? Like, they just picked the exact same lineups every game. And I haven't, you know, thought about it in depth, but I assume they're like the safest lineups. So they don't get last pick Broodmothered or so they don't get cheesed by some amateurs.
Right.
And so I wonder if you're going to see like the top teams pick incredibly safe lineups, sort of like that, and just try to win by outskilling the opponents.
Or stay with whatever the current slash old, like what might be considered older by the end of the tournament meta.
Yeah, Tiny, Naga, Disruptor. Yeah, yeah.
I also feel like the matches being best of ones kind of takes away from what you want to achieve ideally with a Swiss format, because it's kind of comparable to rock, paper, scissors, that some teams do better than other teams because of their play styles. So when everybody plays everybody, you kind of want to take away the randomness, but you're also adding a lot of randomness in again with the best of one matches. Because everybody could just take a game, because the variances between skill levels in Dota are so small that everybody can take one game of anybody.
I guess I should clarify, by the way, the Swiss isn't round robin in that everyone has to play everyone. It's more like you win and then you move on and you play another team that also won. So a 1-0 team plays a 1-0 team.
Mm-hmm. The teams that are playing always have the same record, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's more the way. And so you're just, but it's all best of one.
So it automatically basically sorts the teams by the performance during the right. group stage itself. Okay.
Funny enough, we like Dota actually had this format. So if you played like Dota, you'll be like, it works just like that.
That's what you had. I didn't understand how the matches worked, but thanks.
I'm not sure if I remember in that one. I think it was best of one. I'm not sure if
we liked Dota. It was definitely best of one.
Bunny's actually running Bucharest.
That's right.
Oh, cool. Good.
He's moving up in the world.
There's a Bucharest bot that you have to message.
We were the pilot program.
I always invite Bucharest bot to be the fifth, but they never accept.
All right, so is it even worthwhile trying to make any predictions about this thing, or is it going to be too crazy?
It's still worthwhile, right?
I think it's still worthwhile.
What predictions are for.
I think talent will still win out, but I think there will be some surprises.
All right. Yeah. What do you got, Blue?
I don't think EG's going to do too hot.
Okay.
I'll be honest.
Why?
Because they're a slow starter kind of team, and they are not great in, like, historically in like best of one formats.
Okay.
Granted, that was with, you know, other players. Sure. Right? Like, so historical data might not prove out if it's just different variables now, but I think teams that thrive in this would be like VP, who could play anything. Mm-hmm. But right. I mean, it's not much of a prediction to say VP is going to do well in a tournament, right? Yeah. That's like, okay, the sky is blue, VP is going to do well.
Right. Right.
But I think they'll have a tough time. I also think Complexity will struggle, because they're like a team that seems to be good at like preparing for a particular opponent and like drafting really well against that particular opponent. So it's like, I guess it could go 50-50 because they could catch that team off guard in one match because they did really good research, or it could just be that they're not prepared for the next match, right? And so they don't have the preparation to win the draft easily. I'm not sure.
That's a good point.
And then, of course, like Liquid, it's hard to pick against them. Even though they didn't do too hot, right? They didn't do great in the last yep. in IEM.
They got third place.
Third place. For them, that's like not too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Which is crazy. I don't know. Those are my predictions, basically. It's like Liquid VP are going to continue to do well, but I don't think EG is going to do too great in this.
Okay. Jim, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think the sort of regular teams are going to do well. I'm not too excited about some of the Chinese teams. I like LGD, but they didn't qualify. I think EG is going to do pretty well. I think they're in pretty good form right now. You know, I mean, after losing the first round at the last at Katowice, they went like 6-1 or something, and then only lost 2-1 to VP.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, again, small sample size, but I think they might be on the way up. I think OG is going to do really well.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of OG anyway. I always loved Resolution.
Yes.
He's been like one of my favorite players for so long, and I'm so excited to see him on OG. And I think, you know, like with more time, they're just going to gel a bit better. And I think they really fit into like a patch with like one new hero and then a new way to play Morphling and some tweaks to try to change the meta like right before. The way they play, they're very flexible with like farm assignment and who plays what hero. Like they have multiple players for a bunch of different heroes. And I think that kind of helps them. And I just think like they're going to start improving. So some of it might be hopeful, but they're my dark horse for Bucharest.
There you go. Heard it here first. What about you, Retrowind?
I think Liquid is gonna be tryharding this tournament. I'm not saying they didn't try hard Katowice. I think they obviously gave their best, and every game they lost was they gave their best, so they didn't like hold back and lost because of that. But I feel like there's still some in them, and they maybe some subconsciously felt a bit too safe. And I think Liquid wants to win a major, because they've actually never won a major. They only won TI. Huh. And I feel like that's really making them mad. I saw an interview with GH after Katowice. And I was actually going to say OG as well for an underdog, because in the current meta, Terrorblade is very strong, as we saw in Katowice.
Oh, yeah.
And Terrorblade is traditionally a hero that works really well for OG. And they had they got to the end of the group in the last major, which I think it's not as common anymore for OG. But I think OG has struggled to actually qualify for tournaments in the past months. But if they actually get to the tournaments, they show that they can beat tier one teams. So I feel like OG is also underdog for this tournament. And I think EG will do decent. I don't know as much about EG because I don't follow NA Dota that much. But I really like the performance at Katowice. They beat Newbie 2-0, which is really, yeah, really, really hard. So yeah.
I just have one quick... Oh, I'm sorry, ahead. Can I just follow up with one quick question to Ariane? So you've picked, you know, Liquid to do well. Will Kuro ban Naga? I feel like Katowice was like, we're gonna see it. We're gonna beat Naga. Like we're gonna learn how to play against it. And they happened not to. And the VP was like, why don't you just get rid of this one? And they just like destroy Vici.
For me, Katowice was really painful to watch when Liquid was playing against Naga, because they got the perfect teamfight initiations. Then it just got broken up by the sleep. Everything got reset, and they wasted like two of their big teamfight cooldowns and got wrecked in the teamfight. So I think Kuro is a very proud captain, and I think he'd rather die or go down not banning Naga than giving up. And I think that they're not going to ban Naga and maybe pick it themselves or learn how to actually play against it.
Wasn't GH one of those Naga people? There's always like this... No, there's like this handful of players who like can like play... Yeah, like position one Naga.
Position like four.
Yeah, well, like KP does that, right? He's like newbie's Naga player.
Oh, is he? So,
like, yeah, if they are picking Carry Naga, or when they did back when people played Carry Naga,
yeah,
they would switch the lane assignments around, and KP would play the Naga.
I think that's true. That in that Naga would only be back for Liquid in particular, because their only Naga player is a support player. Mm. So if Naga, if core Naga,
wait. Yeah,
wait, he is also a support player. Yeah. What I just said makes no sense. Theoretically, it should be back for Liquid. Maybe they practiced it.
Yeah, but I think JH played it as a core. I think when they first picked him up, they switched around their roles. So if they're not playing Naga as a core, maybe they don't even give it to JH.
Didn't play Naga?
I think initially JH used to play core Naga.
Huh. I feel like that'd be a good Mataba Man hero.
I know. Right?
He's great at like managing multiple units, and that's like a huge, like, his hero pools.
He's my
like,
favorite
Broodmother. He's great, isn't he?
Every player on that team, I'm sure, could. They're good. but you're right. I agree.
Except that
one thing I noticed at the first game that EG plays is against Pain Gaming, so that's all that bodes well for them. Sorry, Pain Gaming, and any of the SA Dota fans out there, but I think you all know you're pretty big underdogs. So that's, if they win that one and they like win convincingly, maybe they will do well. They just always seem to struggle in the first half of tournaments, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I also feel like,
especially EG, new metas,
I feel like EG tilts really easily, and that's why it's important for EG to get a good start so they don't lose their spirit, basically.
Well, I think this tournament is set up for Wings to win.
No, yeah, absolutely.
If Wings, bring them back, because they would just be the best at this. Like, best of You're one, right. Like,
they would.
Weird-ass drafts. My hot take, though, is we're going to see the return of God Drafter PPD.
Oh, that's a very dark horse.
Very dark horse. I'm taking all the PPD stock, and nice. I'm buying low, and they've got a really tough first round matchup against VP. They're going to lose that one, and then they're going to be upwards and onwards. So, no, I think go ahead.
Say good luck with that pick. Oh boy.
I mean, what do I think? I think at a certain point, I still think he's one of the premier minds of Dota, and maybe that doesn't mean anything anymore. But he has the capacity to be really good at this type of, like, weird one game wins it series. Huh. Like, his variance, I feel like, is so high.
You know who we haven't talked about in ages?
Yeah.
Who like qualified for this tournament? So it throws me off a little bit because Fnatic did so well, surprisingly, at Katowice. Mineski.
I was gonna pick them, but then I said I need to do my once per week talk about PPD, so I had to do that.
Well, yeah, we'll get our sponsorship money this week. That's good.
Yeah.
That's right.
Very smart. No, Mineski's a great pick. Tell us more.
I'm just trying, like, basically, like, where have they been? They had like a great showing a couple of times. They won the PGL Open Bucharest in October. And they placed like third or fourth in a couple other smaller tournaments, but like they've been very quiet since then.
I think the way I perceived it is that Mineski had they're in a very good form and had the meta figured out before the start of 2018, but after New Year's they kind of dropped off.
Well, in January they lost in Captain's Draft 4.0 to Secret, so they got like fourth place or something. I don't think that's anything to be ashamed of. And then earlier this month, in the beginning of February in the Star Ladder, they lost to Liquid, and they got like third or fourth. I don't know. I think they could still do it, unless you think the meta has totally passed them by.
I don't think we know what the meta is.
Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah, that's kind of exciting.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. I have a hot take from Inesky.
Okay,
oh, baby.
I think Ice is bad luck, and the longer he's on a team, the worse they do.
Oh my god! What a shame.
I do. He's funny. He seems cool. Lots of people like him. He's unbelievably talented. But it's always like, oh, this team has Ice, and they do really well. And then, like, when it comes down to it, like DK when they first started, like the god tier DK. It was like, oh, look at this all-star team. And as things went along, I mean, every team, as things go along, eventually fall from, you know, heights. But I do think, like, every time I see a team sign Ice, I now think, like, oh, I don't know. It's going to go sour.
Yeah, right. Like, they went ninth. They took, like, the ninth through 12th place at Katowice. So, but they lost to OG. So it's not like they got stomped by, I don't know, I keep picking on South American Dota. Like, it's not like Pain Gaming beat them. Sorry. Ugh. You know, OG's not, like, a bad team, but they also just have been very quiet since, like, a really strong showing where the only team that, like, consistently beat them was Team Liquid, which is, like, nothing to be ashamed of. All of a sudden. But, like, the last, like you said, the last couple months, they've been just kind of, very
hot
and cold. So maybe this is a time where they can, in these best of one formats, where they can, you know, just let Ice run free with some some kind of crazy, you know, Dark Willow offlane, which is I've seen in pubs, like, people have been running that a little bit. So I'd be intrigued to see. I feel like they're a team that would bust it out and be like, here it is, this is where you play this hero, you know.
Yeah, well, we're all very excited. Unfortunately, we don't have time to bullshit about Kunkka, because we've already gone like an hour and 20 minutes. So, just one quick update before we go. Our lovely friend of the show, Orkin Dark, had an update. Very important. He found out that SNK is the string that selects Wraith King because it's the old abbreviation for Skeleton King. Because S and then N. And then at the end of Skeleton is N, K.
The one that true king still lives.
Right. As opposed to Sand King. So
he lives on in code.
Yep. Oh. Yep. So.
Wow, that's cool.
Glad that mystery is put to rest. And thank you, everybody, for joining. It was very fun to have everyone.
Yeah, thanks.
Gonna do a couple quick plugs. One, Theme Thursday, as usual. Come hang out. I'll be there this Thursday. I'm on spring break, so we're partying.
All right.
Go check out Josh's stream. I think it's 29 Dreams with a Z on Twitch.
Yes.
I think he's away on vacation or something, but he usually streams a bunch. It's always super fun. And then a friend of the show, Brick, also has a stream. I'm totally blanking on what the Twitch address is, so I'm sorry, Brick.
Give me a second.
We're doing some very live research.
Twitch.tv/Brick_Dota.
There you go, Brick_Dota. He's a fun dude. And I stream sometimes. Thanks for watching these past couple days. It's been fun. Throwing boats around and being bad at Dota. It was fun, boys and girls. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy the Dota tournament. I'll try to get this up before you start watching so you can hear our great discussion. Stay out of trouble, everyone. Bye-bye. Oh, and folks, don't forget to check out Friends of the Show, they're making a new podcast about Dota, and it's awesome. RetroWent, give us the deets.
It's soundcloud.com/diretimes. It's from a good friend of the show, Ian and Jesse's podcast.
Dire Times, folks.
Soundcloud.com/diretimes.
Bang bang.